Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, calendar management details. Chapter 1, shorten free time. Here we go. Mark, today you're going to talk to us about how to improve our effectiveness by eliminating long open periods from our calendar.
And yeah, God knows, going to hate me for.
I'm guilty of this.
Yeah, I think I know a lot of people who do. They look at their calendar. In fact, I look at their calendars with them and they, look at that afternoon. There's nothing in it.
I'll get so much done.
Yeah, we'll get so much done. Exactly the opposite, right? There's no evidence of that. The fact is, long periods of unscheduled time are antithetical to effectiveness, and we need to manage our calendars differently. So, 5 points. For those of you who think I'm long-winded, this cast is going to be long-winded after a fashion, even though you can listen for the next 3 minutes and know what we need to tell you, which is, first of all, contiguous unscheduled time, which I'm trying to avoid calling free because it's not free. It looks good. It makes you feel good. Wow. As Mike says, I'm going to get a lot done. In fact, that's not true. In fact, we're going to recommend don't schedule your days with eyes towards blocks of free time. Don't do it. Don't cram things back to back to back or try to keep big swaths open. It doesn't work. First of all, if you see, quote, free, unquote, time, schedule it with priorities. And whatever you do, don't move things just to get more contiguous unscheduled time. It's bad. And then this is a final point, and it's overkill. You guys know this already, but I'll say it again. Please, whatever you do during those long swaths of contiguous unscheduled time, don't do email during it. We have casts for that separately. But I think that's what a lot of people do, Mike, is they think, oh, I can get a lot of email done. And look, long periods of unscheduled time make us sloppy, guys. That's what the data show, working with thousands of managers and executives. So don't do it.
But dude, you have to admit it. Contiguous unscheduled time does look good. I mean, it's not just to me. It looks good to you too, right? I mean,
yeah, it's like an afternoon off. It's like a holiday.
It's a relaxer. It's emotionally. It's just like, oh, look at that. It's just like a breath of fresh air, you know?
Finally free of having to get rid of the next meeting.
It's like for
long
breeze.
Period. Just, a long period to think, right? To start that project that really takes a couple of hours because you really have to think it through. But if you guys think about it for a little bit, when you ask yourselves, how good are you at using those big sloppy blocks of time? Most of us find ourselves wanting. And even though we're not any good at it, we still want more of it.
You've been weighed, you've been measured, and you've been found wanting.
Yeah, that's right. We've found wanting. Exactly. We don't start the big project. We worry about small stuff. And like I said at the beginning, we do email during that time. So look, the first reason to get rid of those large contiguous periods of unscheduled time is they're not effective. We're not effective using long unscheduled periods of time. The reason we're crap with it is Parkinson's law. Work expands to fill the time allotted to do it. The longer you have to do something, the longer it will take. We relax. We don't bring our A game. And look, we've alluded to this a lot. I'll make it a theme. Part of a manager's job, part of a professional's job is to create some stress, some good stress. There are eustresses, EU stress, and there are distresses. Almost all human beings respond better. And when I say better, I mean with higher levels of performance against known metrics when they have some amount of stress. That's called eustress. If the stress becomes too great, it becomes distress. But when people say, oh, I'm really stressed out, what they mean is I'm distressed, not I'm stressed, because sometimes stress is good. Most of us think of deadlines as distresses. In other words, it's a negative. But most of the time, they're actually eustresses. If you have a deadline and you get the work done by the deadline, that eustress is a net positive, provided you're not mental and you go off the deep end every time you have a deadline, which most people aren't. Long periods of blank time on your calendar are the elimination of stresses. And whether we like it or not, guys, I hate to say it, elimination of stresses is a net negative for the vast majority of us when it comes to our workplace responsibilities. We need some stresses, eustresses, in order to deliver things on time and to get stuff done. Now, there are some people who would say, I need those big blocks of free time. You know, I'm not going to argue with you.
Oh, really?
I'm not. Okay. I'm not, because generally those people are wrong, and I can't help them. I can't convince them that it's so unless they do an experiment and discover, wow, I got a lot more done in a lot less time. And I've said it 1,000 times, and I know I've said it on air many times. How many of you have gotten all kinds of things done before you had to go on vacation the next day? That's a function of you stress of a deadline. And let me say something else. If you need big blocks of free time, you better get over it if you want to grow in responsibilities in organizations. Over the course of your career, your ability to have blocks of free time will become less and less and less. If you want to keep those blocks of free time, you're going to have to not progress in your career. I tell the story often of senior executives who are scheduled in half-hour increments and 50-minute increments, and they don't even know what's on their schedule because they're so busy. They don't want to spend one clock cycle of their brain thinking about their schedule. There's somebody else with them. The example I use is the President of the United States, scheduled in 15-minute increments, always turning to the guy next to him saying, what's next? He literally doesn't know what's next because he doesn't have to. Somebody else keeps his calendar for him, and he's not constantly thinking of how much time do I have. When he's done, he turns to the guy and says, what's next? And he moves on to the next thing. That's overkill for 99.99999% of us. And yet, the vast majority of us want free time. But the higher up you go, the less and less you get. If you fight to keep that free time, and guys, we're not saying that you can't be creative, but I know lots of creative people who have learned over the course of their career that having a deadline and limiting the amount of brainstorming and not doing long walks for days and days and days is actually more effective. And I tell you something else, and this is something that I've experienced myself, that I'm working on myself, because it's true for me. A lot of professionals think of travel days. And when I say that, I'm talking about airline trips. Think of airline trips as free time, as unscheduled time. They actually kind of look forward to it.
Yeah, and then they spend time playing solitaire and watching movies. Yeah,
exactly. And the question becomes, how busy are they, right? The people at the very top don't do that. Yeah, they don't. And I'm not saying everybody needs to behave as if they want to be at the very top. But if you want to be at the very top, you better learn now the coping mechanisms that'll help you get there. And even if you don't want to get to the very top, let's be clear about something. The stresses that you have, putting everything into the first 4 hours of the day so you can have 3 hours, start measuring how much you get done in those 3 hours. I'd be willing to bet you'll be disappointed with how much you actually get done. It's better to have smaller chunks of time. And look, I'm going to admit it. I hope this cast ends up being called There Is No Free Time Cast. Because time is not free. Time is expensive. It's rare. It's unrecoverable. And the idea that we call unscheduled time free is dangerous. It ought to be a crime. Professionally speaking, it's a sin. We're teaching ourselves the wrong things about the value of time. And I do it too, guys. I admit this. And I have discovered from working with thousands of executives that when we limit the amount of free time that they have and essentially create deadlines throughout the day, they get more stuff done because they're more focused. Some of you might argue, well, maybe they're slightly lower quality. And I couldn't argue with that. It's possible that if we had the time to do a test of somebody who comes up with a bunch of ideas in 30 minutes versus 45 minutes, that extra 15 minutes would, in fact, deliver the idea of the century.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that.
You know, a couple percent less in quality, but the amount of activity, amount of, you know, the productivity goes down way more than.
Yeah. That's what productivity theory suggests. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to change the name of it. It's not called free time anymore. So if you have a long, big swath of open time on your calendar, it's now called wasted time. Not free
wasted time. Wasted or time. Expensive time. Billion time. I don't know. Something, yeah.
There you go. Now, are you suggesting, though, that we have to schedule every single minute on our calendar back to back to back,
no.
And there is no free time whatsoever on our calendar?
No.
No. I figured the answer to that would be no. So what's the reasonable amount a free time to have at any given time?
I'm suggesting you do that. I don't want to do that. I want to take tomorrow off and play golf. No. Okay. So look, we know there's got to be slack in your calendar. We do know that. But first, what we don't want to do is cram everything that's schedulable together so that we can leave time open. So don't schedule more than 90 minutes at a time free. When you see an afternoon that's free, that somehow magically has not been impinged upon, you want to protect it. But that just increases the chances that Parkinson's Law will take over during that 3 or 4 hour period. as you manage your calendar, when we manage our calendars and we see unscheduled time, we need to unlearn. And guys, I'm struggling with this too, but I've discovered it works. I've been doing it for about 6 months and it really works. We need to unlearn the sense of pleasure we get from those swaths of time, like, ooh, nice, and learn that that's expensive because it costs the same, but our productivity goes down. And when productivity goes down and costs stay the same, that becomes expensive relative to profitability long term. The solution to making our time expensive, in other words, to addressing the issue of expensive time, is to both break up our free time, and obviously we want to be scheduling what matters. We're not saying this is true for everybody, but a good general rule based on our experiences working with, again, with thousands of executives is don't put more than 90 minutes together at any point in the day. Let me put that differently. We don't recommend you scheduling 2 hours or longer all at once because you will be sloppy and inefficient during that time. Now, let's say you have time, you get done with a meeting at 1:30 and you don't have anything else until 4. That's 2.5 hours. We're not going to make you fall on your sword about that. We're just saying we don't recommend that you then avoid scheduling anything during those 2.5 hours. What we're suggesting here, the concept is the deadline that's created by another appointment. I have to do something else in an hour. I don't have 2.5 hours to do this thing I was going to work on. Actually increases your effectiveness and efficiency in the vast majority of cases. My corollary, Horstmann's corollary to Parkinson's law, is that work can contract to fill the time that we give it. If we don't give a task any length of time, it will take an unlimited length of time. If we give it a length of time, we'll tend to get it done in that time. There's all kinds of data that when you're given less time than people think they need, plenty of people do just fine, and some people excel on all kinds of tasks and problems. So don't schedule more than 90 minutes. And then we get to your question. Our point being, more than 90 minutes, for most of us, we start getting notable decreases in effectiveness, which essentially is a function of deficiency in that case.
And so what do you do with that time? You see 90 minutes or so of free time on your calendar. What do? We can't be happy anymore. We don't get to be happy.
Yeah, right, that's right. I'm literally the destroyer of dreams tonight. Yeah, although the only thing I can say in my defense is that tonight, before we started podcasting, you told me something funny and I laughed out loud, and I laughed so hard that all of my dear friends, Rich Rue, and I think Dan McGuire and some others, I think Tom Houseman as well, you all sent me the Tribbles, and the Tribbles are still on. And the batteries work great because it's been 2 or 3 or 4 years, and every once in a while the Tribbles go off in my office. So guys, thank you for that. They were laughing at me a little bit ago. If you don't know what Tribbles are, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to look them up on the internet, guys. But look, you asked me about 90 minutes. Look, if you have 90 minutes, leave it at 90 minutes. But if you have more time than that, if you see a 2-hour block, or if you see an afternoon or whatever, we recommend unlearning pleasure and learning that's expensive, and then say, okay, I have free time. And I'm going to use a word we don't generally recommend, should. What should I do? The professional response to a swath of unscheduled time is so easy. Let's take it from the negative. What do people complain they don't have enough time for? The important stuff, the big stuff, right? So here you've got unscheduled time, what people call free, stupidly, including me, I admit, right? Oh, look, I've got a free afternoon. It's not free. It's expensive. And what do? We then complain about not having enough time to get big stuff done, when in fact 2 or 3 hours would be a lot to get big stuff done.
So I can finally get my email done. Thank you. Yeah. Thank
you. I'm going to kill you with the whole email thing, dude. I'm just going to kill you.
No, that's not what you mean.
What we recommend is when you have 2, 2.5 hours, put time on there for your priorities. Now, we're not over-suggesting that. We don't want you to take that to the nth degree. We don't want you to overdo it. If you have 2.5 hours free, don't schedule 2.5 hours for your top priority. That's dumb. All human systems have some sort of slack, if for no other reason than queuing theory and human inefficiency, right? And squirrels that exist out there and shiny things that exist out there and the internet, which makes it worse. But we can reduce the danger of, quote, free time in large swaths by scheduling stuff into it that matter, as opposed to your example of email, which is just the worst thing you could put in a big block of time. Scheduling an hour for email so that you can get it all done will only mean that you won't get it all done and you will have essentially wasted or nearly wasted an hour. So when you see big swaths of time, the first thing to do, if in fact you've got it, then schedule stuff that's important in there. Whatever it is you complain that you don't have enough time for. And stop complaining that I don't have time for my big stuff, but secretly wishing for an unscheduled morning or afternoon. You can't have, you can have it both ways, but you don't get to hold both those ideas in your head and be logical and be respected as a smart person if you're going to do that. So stop complaining about having enough time while wasting lots of time by leaving it unscheduled. If you mean what you say, when you say you don't have enough time, then have the courage of your convictions and do what you know you're supposed to be doing, which is start at the top of your priorities and work your way down.
Right.
And now look, I just want to say something else too. We have previous guidance about on calendar management, right? This is the first in a series about details relative to calendar management. People are always asking about their calendars and they're good questions. Time is, you know, precious and unrecoverable, as Drucker would say. So we have some guidance there and we have a cast on it. We encourage you to listen to it. So family first, right? Put time on your calendar for your family. Otherwise, if you don't put time on your calendar for family, your family ends up getting pinched. That's not fair. Put time on there for email so that you can corral email into 20 to 30 minute periods of time a day. I know some people's heads just exploded, but trust me, you can do it. And then put your key priorities on there. And then obviously we think for managers, that would include one-on-ones. But if you've got free time and it's in the middle of the day, you're probably not going to schedule time for family and you're probably not going to put email on there because it's already on there. It's standing in. So what you're left with is scheduling priorities. That's it.
Now you said earlier, and we have it on our points here, and I think you said it though, but just to be clear, you're suggesting don't move things around just to get more contiguous unscheduled time, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is the opposite of breaking up your unscheduled time. And that's the hidden, the subtle additional conclusion of this cast is to break up your unscheduled time. Don't have a full afternoon, quote, off, unquote. Rather, move your meetings around so you have an hour between meetings and become more effective in each of those hours. You don't want to have swaths, big swaths of unscheduled time. I caught myself saying free there. The habit of scheduling big swaths is the exact opposite of what effective people do. And it's human, guys. We know you're drawn to it, but it is ineffective. And if you want to continue doing it, that's fine. But you have to turn in your pass, which says, I get to complain about not having enough time to get my important stuff done.
Oh, no. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I know. No way. Okay.
And guys, just to be clear, if somebody's saying, how does he think of this stuff? Well, I'll tell you how. I look at schedules. And I see people's schedules. And I see every second or third week an afternoon with nothing on it. I'm like, dude, nothing? You're swamped in the morning and swamped the next day, but this afternoon you got nothing? Something tells me you connived to have that be so. You denied a meeting, you avoided something, you canceled something, you moved it till the morning. Lucky you. Unfortunately, I'd be willing to bet that most of us, me included, didn't use that afternoon. Here I am calling it a week. That afternoon as effective as you could have.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and of course, we have to say this again. Don't do email during that time, right? That's a sin.
Yeah. I think really there are two groups when we talk about email. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong here. Your email is a little bit different than mine, but there are two groups. The groups who we will never reach until the point at which email eats them alive and they have a moment of clarity. And the group that's like, oh, I finally get it.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, he doesn't know yet, but someday he will. That if you don't schedule any time for email, you will spend an unlimited amount of time on email. The people who don't spend an unlimited time on email are the ones who schedule a limited amount of time for email. That's how you do it. And if you have 100 emails, you can do them all in half an hour. You change your behavior around email, but what we discover is when people change their behavior, nothing bad happens. But in fact, good things happen in terms of getting back your life. And the fact is, the vast majority of you, we've seen this. We say it at conferences. We've looked in your eyes when we say to you, we know what you do when you go back to your desk after a meeting, you log into mail.
I've talked to people, managers who've gone an entire week, and you ask them, what'd you do today? Oh, I did email. I mean, literally, as if doing email...
Yeah.
Were their job. Like, whoa.
Yeah. These are the same people who say, I see these people talking all the time. What are they doing? Well, they're doing what you're doing face to face rather than sending emails. So look, email, guys, is the worst thing you can do with unscheduled time because it's fairly low priority. And I know your email, I know you're at a culture, many of you are at a culture where email is the key, but it's really not. You'll discover it's really not. So we recommend you stop. That's it. I know I can talk and talk and talk, but that's essentially it. Look for the times that are large, that are big swaths of unscheduled time. Break them up. And the first way you can break them up is to not have them happen. And the second way is when you see them, put your priorities in them. And don't go more than 90 minutes without a meeting or something on your calendar. It can be a meeting with yourself to work on a priority or a deliverable or a presentation or a rehearsal or a pre-wire, whatever the case might be. Look, we all feel swamped. Sometimes we do it to ourselves by wanting free time only to squander it. The gods of time gave you a free afternoon. And if that were the case, would you really choose to spend it doing email? I heard somewhere once that there are plenty of people who wish for immortality, but that somehow end up being bored on lazy Sunday afternoons. Folks, don't ask for more long blocks of freedom. It's not free, okay? Use the time you have and whatever bits you get. Move faster. Don't wish for longer. Wish for faster.
Awesome. Dude, this will surprise you, but this may be one of my favorite casts of all time.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. Hey, if you have any questions about today's cast, join us on the discussion forums, www.manager-tools.com/forums. Hope to see you there. So long.